A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Energy for the 21st century. Energy for electricity. A science fiction movie I recommend to everyone. Made in the 1960s. The day the Earth caught fire. The storyline is that simultaneously Russia and the United States have set off H-bombs on parts of the world that tilt the Earth's axis. And the Earth is now spinning towards the sun. There's only so many days and hours to correct this disorder with more H-bombs. Our heroes are Daily Express reporters and a weather presenter in the London News. And the melting down of London is a marvel with a low budget, the day the Earth caught fire. That was then. This is now. Europe is in the midst of the beginning of a heat wave that can reach 45 degrees centigrade. That's hot. Translated, it's well over 100 Fahrenheit. In the Iberian Peninsula, London has already suffered several days of heat wave, and this is a city where they don't much open the windows and there's not much air conditioning. In the United States, the warm weather is already hitting the southwest, and we're told El Nino is on the way. El Nino in Australia means warm and dry for the rest of the year. Though it's coming winter in Australia, it means warm and dry in the west of the U.S. and in the northeast. Warm meaning very hot, the day the Earth caught fire. Simon Constable is in the south of France, where, Simon tells me, it hasn't yet caught fire. However, Simon has a story that helps us all understand that we're not ready for this if our lives depend upon air conditioning and the energy grid that's boosted in deep winter and deep summer. Simon, a very good day to you. The expectation is that renewables, green, is the way forward for those concerned with climate change, such as severe temperature swings. However, you have discovered that green is not yet here, and it has risks. What are they? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. And you're right. It's warm here, and it's going to get warmer. It's about 80 in the sun now. It's expected to get up to 100 within a few weeks here in the south of France, because we're just over the Pyrenees from the Iberian Peninsula. But back to the story about energy transition. What's really interesting is that when you had the COP26 conference on climate change, the discussion was, let's get rid of coal, and then very shortly thereafter, let's get rid of natural gas. They're both fossil fuels, and they're both things that we have relied upon in order to heat our homes and light our homes and all the rest of it for quite a long time. Natural gas was supposed to be their transition, and then came last year, and suddenly coal was back in. Coal had a near-death experience at COP26. Greta Thunberg was saying, look, we've got to get rid of this. And everyone said, yes, let's get rid of it. Coal came back. Germany's burning more coal than it has in a very long time. Britain decided to open its first new coal mine in decades. It's very interesting. Britain then banned drilling for natural gas on its own land, but was happy to import an absolute load of fracked natural gas from the US. Again, natural gas coming back in there is really, really important. And in the US, the Biden administration said, okay, let's ban natural gas stoves in favor of electric stoves, so you wouldn't get pollution in your kitchen. But what they didn't say was that 20% of what you use in electricity, or 20% of electricity, is made from coal in the US, and another 40% is made by natural gas. So it doesn't actually do anything. So this transition away from fossil fuels is not happening near as fast as people want or think that it's happening. It's going to take a very long time. The whole idea with electric cars is another thing. But anyway, back to you, John.
Yes, Simon, a deal here is, but what about renewables, Simon? What about those offshore windmills that are going to give us electricity from the sea? What about the acres and thousands of kilometers, square kilometers of solar panels? Isn't that imminent?
Well, we'd like to think it was imminent. The problem is it requires infrastructure to be built that just is not there at the moment. And many electric utilities don't really want to commit to doing that because of the vast cost involved and also the problems that they're on the hook when things go wrong. So the U.S. really doesn't have that structure there. It's a very large country in terms of land mass. In the U.K., it's there, but it really is making a very little difference. In the UK, yes, we have wave power and wind power because the wind, and you probably hear the wind in the background here in southern France, but the wind really isn't enough of it, and there isn't enough infrastructure there to sort of capture all of that. And then when you've captured it, you have to store it somewhere. And there comes a real problem, is you need batteries to store the electricity. And the materials you need for that are in relatively short supply. They include things like lithium and nickel. So you get nickel ion batteries or lithium ion batteries, et cetera, et cetera. Those materials have jumped up in price so massively, it really is quite unbelievable. And a lot of people just don't understand the vast cost of this transition.
You spoke to energy equity analysts at trading firms, and their business is to see the future and invest in it. What about more natural gas? If that's a transition fuel, are the costs worth it? Do the energy firms trust Washington that it won't change its mind?
No one trusts Washington in business because they change their mind every 4 years at a minimum, and sometimes a lot more often than that. And nobody wants to really start saying, I've got a capital project here that will take me a few years to invest the money and get it set up, and then another 10 to 15 to pay back what I've put in. And that sort of long-term planning can't happen when you can't trust the government. They flip-flop all the time. And if you're putting in billions of dollars, that really matters. So the most optimistic thing I heard was that in 20 years, we may get somewhere near it, but it's probably going to be a lot longer, something more like 50 years, if everybody plays by the rules and if everybody sticks to their plan to get us there. And I'm not sure that'll happen.
Is Europe right now committed to this idea of we need coal and we need nuclear and we need natural gas? Has Europe changed its mind, or is it the expedience of the Ukraine conflict?
It depends on the country. Remember, this is not the United States of Europe. Although Europe has long wanted to be the United States of Europe, it isn't. It's Germany, it's France, it's Italy. France is powering ahead with green stuff like nuclear, and it wants to get a lot more nuclear reactors done. There are 56 nuclear reactors in far fewer than that plants, but that's very good, and they're going to add a load more over the next few years. Meanwhile, Germany has closed its nuclear reactors and is turning to coal. I don't know that that's expediency. I just think that's silly. I really can't understand what the Germans are doing or why they're doing it. It looks like they're lacking a strong leader and have a lot of chaos going on.
And Britain sits on a huge amount of natural gas. The decision there is that they will not frack. Is that correct?
Absolutely, that's correct. Here's what I really don't understand. So if you live on the planet Earth, which we both do, and I think our listeners do, then you're in a closed system. So if you pollute in one part of the world, then it affects the entire globe. And that's generally considered to be a normal thing. So if you're getting fracked natural gas from America, which Britain is by the literal boatload of it, then you're affecting the world. But if you don't drill it in Britain but get it from there, what are you doing? There's nothing different. So yes, there is a resistance to fracking in the UK. I know that it's a bit of a NIMBY thing. That's not in my backyard attitude. So you can do this somewhere else, but not in my backyard. And it's ridiculous. It's short-sighted. And to be quite honest, it's a bit snobby too, none of which I like.
Checking on commodities in the south of France and across the French plain. The two in particular, wheat, because there's disorder in the wheat crop in China because there's questions about the wheat crop coming out of Ukraine and Russia, and energy, especially petroleum. Have there been any changes in direction of the trends, which have been lower over the last months?
Well, with wheat, which is a very important commodity here because it makes us bread, which is absolutely vital in my life, that's been continuing to trend down. It's around about half where it was at the peak of the Ukraine crisis. And we're seeing diesel fuel, which is very important in the farm sector, and that's been trending down. It's been continuing to trend down, and that's a very good sign. I always like to say this, but it's true. The cure for high prices is high prices because it incentivizes producers to produce more stuff. And that's exactly what's happened. So it's a good trend coming down.
Simon Constable in The Day the Earth Caught Fire, Europe. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.